I've watched the video before, but as I was watching it this morning, I was so struck with the fact that Mavic could have known this just isn't fair. This isn't fair. Because, see, her path began not of her own choosing. It wasn't fair. Even the choices she made to live with the guy on the bus is, what if you have no other options? You got a brother at home, no one's protecting you. It's like, it's not fair. The things that enslave her, the things that hurt her, the things that bind her up, bound her up, are things that she didn't choose. So it's not a matter of who's the most guilty. And the reason it struck me this morning is because Friday night when we were talking, it's like we live on a planet that is utterly depraved. Her brother didn't know another way. It's not like, boy, this is wrong, I shouldn't. I don't know what her dad was like, but the planet itself, humanity, is so broken and depraved that we keep doing this thing. And that's why this redemptive trajectory of God is so incredibly glorious. Because whether you chose the stuff on your path or it chose you, the stuff that breaks you and binds you, it's like the same God, the same power is there for us to change everything. One of the songs we sang this morning, I love the opening part. It says, walking around these walls, I thought they'd never fall. You feel like you've been marching around the city walls, like Israel around Jericho, for years. That's what it feels like. But you've never failed me yet. I don't know, God, how you're going to do this one, how you're going to come through, but he always does. And so I'm so grateful that Maverick was willing to tell her story, not because it's so sensational, but because even when she's talking about the really terrible stuff in childhood, there's this light on in her face. She's still like, and I'm thinking, I don't know, you say that like it's kind of like, yeah, and then this happened. But you realize she's looking back at her story through the found part of her story. She's already got the Holy Spirit in her, bringing peace in the midst of difficult circumstances. So she looks back at the other going like, yeah, that's bad. But it doesn't define her. I think it's so beautiful. I wish she was here this weekend because I'll tell you to go hug her, but you'll have to come back next weekend for that. And you can't because we're full, so sorry. Well, here we are, Sunday morning. Gosh, what a weekend. God is so kind. I mean, through worship, through the workshops, through the stories I hear, just sitting at the meal tables and listening to gals talk to each other and what God's doing. I love it. I just love it. I think he's just good. You can quote me on that if you want. One of my big issues in life, and if you've heard me teach at all, you know this is true, has been my love-hate relationship with food. Because I use it as a pacifier, I use it as an anesthetic, I use it when I'm bored, I use it when I'm excited, I celebrate with it, I commiserate with it. It's like food had become almost like a god to me. It's where I went to fix my situation, my internal situation. That's not a healthy relationship with food. And then I began to realize over the years, I would talk to people who, this is gonna blow your mind, they ate when they were hungry. Right? Isn't that funny? And I thought, what's that about? And I've actually talked to people who like eating things that are good for their body. I don't know. But see, here's the thing in my relationship with food, which I've been working on. I really have, not just, I don't mean just losing weight and that kind of thing. I'm talking about my relationship with food that is destructive. And so part of that process has been to like learn things like when you're full, stop eating. See, some of you think that's intuitive. It's like, duh, it's not. When food is like a god to you, when it is your source, then you don't stop. When you come out of poverty, you don't stop just because you're done, because you don't always know where the next meal is coming from. And the reason that creates a bondage is that I found myself in places where I was not free to just enjoy food. Food was necessary. It was necessary not in a stay alive way, but a stay alive in here kind of way. And so where food can be delightful for some people, it was, I clutched it, the idea of it. It was very difficult. And so that very binding took away my freedom to just enjoy good food. Back in June, I went on this program. It's for weight loss, but it's mostly has to do with your relationship with food. It comes at it from science and psychology and sociology. And since I'm incredibly brilliant, that helped me a lot to come at it from that way. But in that process, one of the things they said is, like, if you really have a taste for something, have it. When you've had enough of it, stop, and then just factor it into the other things you eat that day. That seemed like a lot of work, but I love Starbucks morning buns. They're these, like, little cinnamon, they're not real, real sweet, but they're cinnamony, and they're kind of a croissant dough, and they're, like, warm, they warm them up. Oh, dear Jesus. It's like, and I literally for like 3 or 4 days in a row, I kept thinking about this. And so, learning my way, I went and got my skinny vanilla latte and then a morning bun heated up. And I went and sat in my car because that Starbucks was all full inside. I sat in my car. I almost had tears in my eyes. It's like, this is so special. I just love it. And I drank my latte and I picked apart. Oh, that's so good. I thoroughly enjoyed this goofy little morning bun. I absolutely celebrated it. I finished it. I never got full, so I finished it. Doing my thing. But it was the most wonderful experience because I enjoyed the food, but it didn't hold me. So in this one area that doesn't seem life-changing or huge in that way, because of my story, it's like, oh, good Lord, this is what those people were talking about. This is what it feels like to be free of the hold of food. So today, last night we talked about being freed from. Today I want to talk about being freed to. Like, what is it when we get rid of, when God breaks those bounds for us, when we make the decisions that bring us into freedom, what are we freed to? What are we freed for, in essence? What does it mean to live with power and to live in intimacy with God in those areas of our life that before we didn't feel that? In Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21, says this. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, that means just your impulses, the things that hold you, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I'm not sexually immoral and I don't do wild parties. That's 13% of the list, just so you know. Congratulations. You, I don't know, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, a little dissension, division, jealousy, quarreling. Those are the things that mark us when we are not living free by the Holy Spirit. But look at the contrast, what we are offered, what we are free to experience. Going on to verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and it's this passage we call the fruit of the Spirit. And here's some of them. Fruit of the Spirit is love. This is not just a warm feeling. Oh, finally, I get to fall in love. It's not that kind of love. It's not what the biblical love is, this kind of love. It's what it means to be like Christ, to love that way. You're not bound by the opinion of every other person in order to love. You're not bound by every feeling you have toward every person. You're free to act on behalf of other people's highest good, because your motivation is not just some feeling, not just like, I love them, I don't love them. Now, this is especially important in marriage, because we fall in love and get married because we feel that thing. And I've talked to so many people of theirs. As soon as we don't feel the thing, I don't love him anymore. So we start looking for that feeling somewhere else, whether it's in food, another person, or whatever else it might be. Too often we transfer it to kids when kids come along. But I don't love them. You didn't make a vow to feel something your whole life. It's the fruit of the Spirit. This isn't work it up, smack yourself on the head for doing that. This is the fruit of the Spirit. When we live in the Spirit of God, then love becomes the way that we act. It becomes the way that we respond to people. Fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's not a joy based on circumstances. Jan had great joy because she won one of my things. And she, let me just say, I didn't need the luggage, but so, sorry, not sorry is what you meant, yes. But see, the thing is, joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is something, it's a fruit that comes out, the roots are in us because of the Holy Spirit. So we find joy. Now, it doesn't mean like a giddiness. It means a deep, like, gratitude and hope based in the Holy Spirit in us, in who God has made to be. We are free to have joy even in difficult circumstances. That's what freedom looks like. The other thing about joy is that if you're that kind of person, and we know people like that, people are drawn to it. So people that don't even know God are drawn to that in you because it's the Holy Spirit. And he's the one who always attracts people to God, not you, no matter how delightful you are. And about three of you I've met are really delightful. The others need to work on them. But there's this thing about when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in us, the world, if I can call it that, people who don't know, are attracted to that. And we, rather than pat ourselves on the back, begin to understand that's what it means to live free. Because the world is desperate to be free of their stuff, of the sin that binds them. Fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's not based on a lack of issues or even stupidity like, no, I have great peace. It's okay. It's okay. It's not an ignoring of things. It's that in the midst of whatever you're facing, you know that God has you. Now, we talked the other night about the fact that in this world, you'll have trouble. So peace is not based on a lack of stuff in our life. Life is going to happen. But God in us, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, says that when stuff happens, we don't have to like be taken down. That the Holy Spirit in us can give us peace. Patience. If you have kids or a husband or a job or something, how great would it be if you didn't wear your touchy button right on the front and everybody could push it? Everybody has access to your anger or reaction. What if they didn't? What if you had patience and someone wanted to really poke at you and you go, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't have anything else to say about that. But you're not always being ignited. That's the difference from someone who lives free and someone who lives bound by what other people do or say or even their own internal stuff. Goes on, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those things. It's freedom from and it's freedom to. We begin to live this life that not only is much better for us, but it begins to touch the world around us. In Ephesians 4, Paul says this, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is complete corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. The part of this is let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, because that's really what comes out of us, right? I love in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, let God transform you by changing the way you think. That's what we're talking about. Having our mind renewed by the Holy Spirit because we've chosen freedom. We've trusted God with the broken places, with whatever your pacifier anesthetic is, the things we use to cope. I found this wonderful quote, and because I remember things better if I see them, I asked Munch, and she put it up here, so I'm going to read this, and you can see it there. And this is about freedom. And his name, Jerry Cook, his book on the Holy Spirit says this: if I am separate from your opinion and can step aside, hear or watch you, and then choose an appropriate response, I am free. If I can experience the circumstances but not be consumed by them, if I can refuse to let them choose for me, but rather choose the best action to take myself, I am free. I am free to make the decision, and I am free to live with the results of that choice. If I can uncouple my person from the events of my past, choose my present and future path, I am free. That's the best way I know. I just thought he put it so well. That's what we're talking about when we talk about freedom. It's this ability to not let everybody push our buttons, not let our own past push our buttons. It's one of the things I was so struck with Mavic in her story. She just, if you look at her face, she's not walking around in bitterness. I'm sure that if we got to sit down and talk, she could talk about the things that grieve her, having to do with early pregnancies or whatever else. But what she shared with us is like, I mean, that picture was so poignant to me when she said, when she put her hand on the pillow, she laid down on a clean, soft bed and she was safe. We take it for granted all the time, ladies, all the time. And I thought, like, that's freedom. God never let me take for granted the ways that you have given me freedom, freedom to sleep at peace, freedom to eat when I need to or whatever else. The issue is not who you ought to be. The issue is who you are. It's not about doing more. Ladies, if you come away from this thinking you need to try harder and do more, that's not what I'm saying. You will never grit your teeth into freedom. You'll wear your teeth down, but you will not end up free. It just doesn't work that way. But knowing the truth of who we are in Christ is what changes us. We're not bound or obligated to satisfy every whim or want we have. Friday night, I talked a little bit about this. Like, we think freedom is, I can do whatever I want. It's whatever inclination we have. I feel like this, so we go do that. That's not freedom. Freedom is not having to do everything that this broken human body demands. If I carry this over to my illustration about food and me, like the freedom to not, like, respond, this is how I am still sometimes. I found that I love these chocolate fudge covered gluten-free pretzels. I know, it's not lobster, but it's like, so this thing. So I get them when I'm at the store because they don't always have them, and I just keep them when I need a little something sweet. I can have a few bags, a few pretzels. But here's the thing. Some days, especially if I feel like I'm extra tired, I'm bored, I'm stressed about something, whatever it might be, those kind of things, I can be sitting in my den, 15 feet away is my kitchen. Cassie. It's frightening. Cassie. We're in here. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but there are things that call your name that you can't say no to. But that's freedom, when we begin to have the power to say, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to resent my parents, my kids, my husband, whatever it might be. I don't have to do that. That's freedom. Wherever you came from, however your habits have been, ladies, we don't have to live that way. And I can tell you, the times and they're becoming more frequent that food doesn't get its way with me. I feel like a grown-up for Pete's sake, but I feel like it took me a while, but I might actually be getting like whole. I feel freer. And I feel that in other areas of my life that God's been dealing me with. It's really amazing. Freedom, we just kind of expand. It's like all the world becomes greater opportunity. God provides these opportunities that come out of this freedom that he can trust us with. Years ago, my husband, Bud, got himself a little aquarium. He just wanted fish. And so he got himself a little aquarium, and one of the things he bought was a shark. He bought this little shark, and it swims around. He had a few other fish in there, and it was pretty cool. I mean, I guess guys, sharks, I don't know. Well, after a year or two, someone gave him this big aquarium. So he got it all set up, and he put him in there. The shark went from 5 inches to about 12 inches. Same shark. It wasn't a baby shark, and then became an adult shark. It was an adult shark, but shark fish, I read, because all fish do that, they only grow to the size that their surroundings allow. So this shark isn't going to become as big as a thing and just swim like this back and forth. They don't do that. And so they, like, this shark just grew. I mean, literally, the thing was probably like this big. It was gorgeous to watch. It was so cool. And God brought that to my mind in this, because I'm telling you, ladies, we are built for bigger than your little fishbowl. Bigger than that. And our fishbowl is made up of our own limitations. The things that we're afraid to trust God, we're afraid to let go. You know, there's an old illustration about if you want to trap a monkey. So if you're thinking, I was hoping they would tell me this weekend how to trap a monkey. In a glass jar, you put something shiny in the bottom. They'll reach in to get it, but it's got a neck on it. And with a fist, they can't get their hand out. But they won't let go of the shiny thing. And you can capture them because they can't get away from the thing, because they refuse to let go. Do you get the application? What are you holding on to that's trapping you and keeps you from freedom? Whatever it might be, let's not do it anymore. Is it hard? Can you do it on your own? No. But the Bible has filled us with promises. Philippians 2:13, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. What pleases him? Your freedom, your obedience, love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit in you. That's what pleases God. He's working. Philippians 1:6, I'm certain that God who began this good work in you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. This is really, really good news. It's God's promise and his equipping. He's got the plan. We just have to join the plan. I'm going to give you three quick things that I think are helpful on the go forward in terms of our walking into freedom. The first is this: pursue God. I know it's a big duh, but pursue God. He must be a priority because he's the source of freedom. His word, prayer, conversation with him, and his people. Vitally important, because remember, you are programmed towards slavery. Whatever it is that enslaves you, you're still programmed that way when you're trying to move out of it. And so now it's like, if you think you can just do it with what you know is what got you there. What you want to know is what God knows, what he has, and that's what we're moving toward. It's not a new thought, but we need to do it. Alter your current daily habits, make room for what's most important. I don't know what that looks like for you. For some of you, it may be literally sitting on your porch staring at the mountains or something, talking to God. Whatever it is that begins to connect you in a deeper way with God, so that you can hear his voice of love. Because as we experienced yesterday morning, knowing how much you're loved is all the impetus, the motivation, and the power you need to begin to take steps. Because his love is so empowering for us. John 8:32 says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. How are you going to know the truth? It's in his word. We hear it through worship and through teaching and through his people. Know the truth and it will set you free. Don't settle for your own truth. It hasn't helped you before. It won't help you now. Then do what you can do. Things like forgive. It's critical. I've talked about it, but I run into it so much. Whoever it is for you, I don't think I can forgive them. All I'm telling you is that's not hurting them. It's hurting you. My grandfather, who was the abuser in my life, he never asked for forgiveness. He died when I was a senior in high school, I was 17. And I forgave him when I think I was in my early 30s when God took me on this journey to forgive him. He didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't deserve forgiveness. But my unforgiveness was not hurting him. I was carrying him around into my adult life, into my family, and he didn't deserve to be there. Forgiveness was a necessity. So if you need to forgive, do it. I was a few years ago, I was really hurt by somebody in my life. It was over a few years, and it was this constant kind of irritation, if I can call it that. And it just came to a head, and God was like, Kath, you have to forgive. What are you talking to them about? Have you mentioned it to them? I know you guys never think that way. So God just was pressing me. So I got out my journal and I made a list of all the things. I could almost quote you what some of the things they'd said to me. And they weren't after me. They weren't accusatory bad things. They were just things that were very hurtful, insensitive in my world. So I just started making a list. Then I made the list. I went back up and next to number one, I put release, release, release all the way down. The next morning I got up, went back to my journal. I had thought of a few more things, so I added those. It's a process, girls. It's a process. Then I put release, release, went back to the top, read it again, and then I circled release all the way down. The next morning I got up, went to the top, and I underlined release. And I did it until it was broken in me. And it broke. I didn't think I'd be free of it. I thought I could power up. I could get my nice on enough that it would move to the back and wouldn't dictate my life. But it wasn't going anywhere. Because God didn't want it to go anywhere. There's no room in us for things that are not of God. That's the stuff we take off, right? We take off the old self. It was a process. So if God's calling you to forgive, however it is for you, take steps and do it. Don't wait till you feel like it. Your feelings are not generally fully redeemed. They're very human. Or make amends. If you've done something, you need to make amends, go do it. The sky won't fall in. But your horizon will open up because that's what we do as Christ followers. If you have financial issues and if God asked you to go on the Mexico trip, you knew he was calling you, it's like, I can't, I don't have the money, or I'm too far in debt, or I can't afford it, whatever it is, money's always the issue. Then however it is you need to do, get out of debt, get help. We have a stewardship pastor, George Fernandez, who knows his stuff. He's fabulous. If you go talk to him, just say, I don't know what to do with this. You might think it's impossible, but people who know stuff you don't know can help. That has helped me. So if it's financial, learn boundaries. Some of you need to learn boundaries. That's part of your freedom, not giving everybody access to all your emotions. Practice generosity. If you're always clinging to things you're afraid you won't have enough, practice generosity. Do the work that leads to freedom. It's not that you do it and you earn freedom. It's that you do it so you can let go It's this, ladies. Whatever you have to do to get yourself on the path toward freedom, do it. It's absolutely worth it. Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free. Don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Now this is Paul's talking to the church, and that was their slavery. They kept going back to the rules and forgetting what grace looked like. So you might not have an issue with the rules, but whatever you're struggling with, Paul's words to us are still the same. Stay free. Whatever God has begun in you this weekend, pursue it. It's worth it. Don't get home and say, it's just too hard. It is. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. This is about what God can do. The third thing is, fix your eyes on Jesus throughout your day. Become familiar with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Learn his voice. I remember once, years ago, it might have been a song or a teaching, something, but this thought came clear to me. When I get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of noise because everybody's worshiping. Apparently, there's a lot of people and stuff. When I get to heaven, I want to know Jesus' voice. You know how like a kid, a bunch of moms are together and one kid goes, Mama, and the one that's theirs, they can recognize a voice. I had this picture so clear. When I get to heaven and all this is going on and I hear this voice go, Kath, because I know it's Jesus. Don't you want to know his voice? Start now because he's present. It's his Holy Spirit that's in you. Practice. Say, God, I want to know your voice. Teach me what it means to hear your voice, whatever that would be for you. That's such a good ask. I think God loves that ask. The other thing is practice obedience. Be obedient. It seems like such a duh thing, but we do it so often. Oh, I know God wanted me to forgive, but I'm thinking about it. I remember one time God asked me to do something. I mean, I knew it was God. It was like I felt it in my head. And I didn't want to. And I actually said to myself and God, like, I got to pray about that. And I honestly, I felt like God kind of said, who are you going to pray to? Just wondering, you know. Oh, yeah, that's difficult right there. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, the Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where's the Spirit of the Lord if you're a Christ follower? Right there. Wherever he is, there is freedom. Psalm 119:45 says, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Practice obedience. Choose to learn the voice of Jesus by his Holy Spirit. Do the work of freedom, whatever it means for you, whatever. It's as varied as anything in here. I was thinking about when we did kind of the wrap-up after our solo time yesterday morning, and the three who shared that it was about the lies about themselves. Like that the love of God was working to dispel the lies. If that's one of your issues, how are you going to go after it? Are you going to wait till it stops? That hasn't worked up to now. What can you do to begin that path toward freedom? Invite God in. Well, some of it is know what the Bible says about you. And when you hear your own voice talk badly about you, have something to say back. Kath, you're right. You got angry quick, but you know what? You caught it. God loves you. God says you're his beloved. And you got to say as much back to yourself in the spirit, positive, as your brain wants to tell you about what's wrong with you. So whatever the thing is, and for all of us, it's unique kind of to us, but we must. So what would freedom look like for you? Well, the foundation of freedom, we know. If you've not yet said yes to Jesus, or if you're one of those who this weekend said yes for the first time, by the way, I would love to meet you. If you would come find me, I would love to meet you. And we'll have an opportunity, a card that Jill's going to show us in a few minutes. But you can, if you don't want to, it's hard to meet anybody right now. But if you just want to put it on there, love to talk to you. It's like, well, I don't make a big deal. It's embarrassing, whatever else. Listen, that's your step. Because you can't do this walk of faith by yourself. The work of the cross has set us positionally free. Like you are completely free in Christ. God sees you as pure and perfect as Jesus Christ. Mind-boggling. But he sees us. We are positionally, absolutely pure. And we are working out our salvation, as the Bible says, with fear and trembling. Because it's a process, what the Bible calls sanctification, that transformation that happens in us. That's the journey we're on. And only the Holy Spirit can show you where you are bound, where I am bound. And as we surrender, God can deliver us from the power that keeps us stuck. That's his promise and his job. We choose and purpose to do what's necessary to be free from. But we also leave a place of hope and we say, God, what have you freed me for? What now am I free to do? What would you call me to? Things like financial freedom. If you're living within your means and you've got a hold on all of that and it's solid, then if God's going to call you to go to on a Mexico trip, he's going to provide. But not over top of your ignorance and your slavery, because then it doesn't suit you. You're not becoming free. And that's what he wants for us. How about the freedom to forgive, or the freedom to love, the freedom to go, the freedom to stand? We are freed for a purpose. It all has to do with what we're created for and what God's called us to. Last night you had the cards that I hope you brought back that I asked you to hang on to. And on the flip side of the card, the color side, it says, where freedom calls me. Now, some of you may have something to write on here. And what this is, it's like, this is not a super spiritual example, but at the end of August when I retired, all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, I can do whatever I want. But the truth is, you still go to bed, you wake up, and then you have a day. It's like, and so it's like, oh, now I'm free to do whatever. Well, that took me on this journey of, I don't know what to do because I have so much free time. Well, that filled up quickly enough. But but with things that I get to choose. So that's a little example, but that's what I'm asking for you. Like, what would God be calling you toward? I'm going to close it, but at breakfast, we were talking about prayer teams. I was talking with a couple of my friends who are on prayer team, and they were talking about the first time they were asked. Or for one of them, I think it was the third time she was asked before, she finally said yes. In this sense, and because I used to oversee prayer teams, and I'd ask people, no, I can't do that. I remember one gal who's now on the prayer team, but I'd said, I really think this fits in your gift set, I think. And she goes, no, because she's kind of a shy person. And she's, no. And I said, okay, well, you don't have to be in a prayer team, but would you be willing at some point to just sit with someone and hear their story, maybe pray for them? She goes, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. I said, I'm so glad now you're on a prayer team, because that's what they do. You see, we're so quick to have this kind of, no, I can't. What I'm asking you to do is put that down. Say, God, what will you ask me to do? Because when God invites, God gives you everything you need, and you're doing it for the sake of the kingdom. But in doing it for the sake of the kingdom, you're changed by it. Does it sound too good to be true? Yeah. But it's true. And many of you, if we had the time, you could say, this happened to me in this area or this area. Whatever it might be, ladies, you and I are built for freedom. And I'm going to, worship team, Al, you guys can come up. I'm going to ask them to just play some music, and you're going to have a little bit of time. And what I want you to do with this card is I just want you to, like, where freedom calls me, I want you to sit quiet and say, God, is there anything, like, what could that be? Now, some of those might be things that are very immediate, tangible. They can be done now, and it's like, oh, okay. Some of them may be like, you can't even see that they're, can't even see them clearly, but out there you have a sense like, I think God's calling me maybe one day to do something like that. Whatever it might be. But I want you to jot those things so that in this moment, before the distractions of life come in and press in on us, that you would just say, maybe this. It doesn't have to be definitive. No one's going to check on this and make you do anything. Maybe, God, do I hear you asking me to maybe go back to school? Or are you saying that maybe that you're going to ask me to everything from homeschool to, I don't know, anything that could be, whatever it might be. What is it as you get rid of the things that bind you, whether it's insecurities or the lies of the enemy or bad habits, whatever it is, that God wants to open these doors and walk you into places of freedom that will change your life, the lives of the people around you, and the kingdom of God. That's kind of cool. Pray with me. God, you are so good. And this whole concept is so much bigger than words. But Lord, I trust your Holy Spirit. And I pray that even now, with these hearts that are open to you, Lord, those that maybe it's new and fresh to them, maybe even they've only just started to get rid of the chains that have held them in areas of their life, wrong thinking or wrong habits or whatever it might be. Even, Lord, as they're beginning very first steps on this journey toward freedom, God, can you give them a picture, a word, a song, a verse? Just, it's like there's freedom coming and freedom for a purpose. We entrust all this to you, God, because it's way beyond us. You are a good God. Thank you for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit this weekend. Thank you that you infused the songs that were sung, the words that have been spoken, the laughter, the tears. You chose us this weekend, Lord, to be so fully present that we will be forever marked by your fingerprints. And we are grateful. You are a good God. And we worship you. We bow before you again this morning and say, it's you above all else for us, Lord. It's you.